Yes. Brinson has him. We may need you to do two. Depends on there's some more men in the back there, son. Mr. Chan and his boys. He's right there. So if you see somebody come in, then maybe you can hand it off to them.
Because I thought I saw
Sit down. We'll find someone to rest with.
You can sit by you.
Here. Two. Yeah, those are two. Good evening, church. So good to see everyone who's able to be out here this evening. I know that I'm encouraged and look forward to this night where we gather together. And of course, the first part of what we do here on Share Night is for the purpose of our young ones primarily, although we have participation from those who are more seasoned so that they can develop new skills, develop their abilities to address an audience like this. And I believe that to be a very, very good thing. I know that some of the young men have been working pretty hard on some of their songs. I don't know if any are going to come forward, but during the open mic would be an appropriate opportunity to do that. If you are in mind to do so, then that would be just fine. For those of you who are visiting with us, I extend a hearty welcome to you. It's good to have you here, and we are encouraged by your presence and your interest in spiritual things. Tonight, our theme is on share with one another. Share with one another. And we're going to explore a variety of different passages in Scripture, as we always do, to hone our minds and think more about how God sees, or God's definition of sharing and giving, sacrifice one for another. The passage that I want to bring to our attention at this moment is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, which in effect acts as a springboard for the remainder of the verses that we're going to meditate on this evening. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. So that he may have something to share with anyone in need. With that, we'll begin.
Acts 4, verses 31 through 33. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Now the full number of those who believed were in one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with a great power the apostles were giving their testimonies to the resurrections of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all.
Second Thessalonians 3:6-15. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat.
Second Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 5, reading from the English Standard Version. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and the and their extreme poverty has overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they have given gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this is not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us.
Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 through 16. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God.
Philippians 2, 3 through 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others.
Given us. Thank you for the food and the grass and the trees. Thank you for Mr. Joel's life, and please comfort his family. Thank you for the food to nourish our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 407.
Victory in Jesus.
Number 407. Victory in Jesus. In the first and third verse, we have that same.
I heard our own story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave a life on Calvary to save a wretch like me.
My Savior.
number 6783. Number 6783. I will be doing 1st and 2nd verse. If you have it, let us sing it. Give me. Give me thy heart.
Nine oh five. Yield not to temptation.
Yield not to temptation. For
as the deal. 71.
As the deal.
Thank you.
be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemned not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. God, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you will use it to be measured back to you.
First John 3:17-20. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything.
Matthew 25:35-40. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did I see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer to them, truly I say to you, as you did it to the ones of the least of my brothers, you did it to me.
James 2:14-17. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also by faith itself, if it does not have works, is dead.
Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me, this is my know, for the Bible tells me so.
I'll be reading from Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. And always acknowledge him, and he makes straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil.
Proverbs 19:17. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed.
Proverbs 22:9. Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor.
Proverbs 3:27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is power to do it. Proverbs 11:24-25. One gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds that he should give, and only suffers want. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered.
Okay, everybody is aware, hopefully now, that on March the 28th, 29th, and 30th, Steve Garrett's going to be here. And Steve is very good at getting everyone built up and singing, just as our brother is, Brother Barnes. But Steve is from Texas. I've known him for all my life, and he'll do us a great job. Sunday afternoon, after services, we're going to have a potluck at Les Myers Park in the building there. So that's been made arrangements for also. So with that in mind, how about 747? 747. Sing on, ye joyful pilgrims. Do me so. Sing on, ye joyful pilgrims, for faith the moment's love, my faith in heaven rising with every tenfold song, love on the mountain blessing, the Lord is about to stand.
deliberated whether or not I'd say this publicly, but I'm going to ask for your prayers again. And I am confident that God does answer our prayers, and that's why I work in the state of North Carolina. After 2 years, 15 months of trying, I'm in Durham. And so I'll ask your prayers. There is a lateral position in Cornelius as the postmaster and a position in Mooresville. And because I'm in the state of North Carolina, I can apply for those two jobs. And one of them actually is a matter of them just saying they'll accept me in a position, and the other one is a competition. And so the Lord has blessed me in great regards with the work I've done. And so I get to share Wednesday night Bible class with my oldest daughter. And she and I get to have lots of FaceTime, of which most times, actually I should say all the times I'm paying. But it is a blessing. It is genuinely a blessing. So I'll solicit your prayers. And I'll tell you one of the takeaways from 2 years in Houston, Texas, and what got me there. And didn't get a chance to really focus on it, but I am clear in my mind that it was fear of the unknown that prompted my decision to go to Texas. And what I specifically mean by that is the fear of the unknown about finances, a kid going to college, and a house, and everything, all of it consumed me, that in my mind, even though I talked with my family, even though we prayed in advance, all those things that I'm supposed to do, when I boiled it down, stuffed it in a bottle, the Lord taught me an invaluable lesson about fear. And that we can't allow it to consume us because He is in control. He is in charge, and He will see us through. And we cannot allow fear to move and cause us to act. Now, in that said, the Lord did bless me, and that in hindsight, there were some very specific situations that I found myself in the middle of. Two marriages on the rocks. I moved into with some friends, and one of the young boys who was a Christian publicly announced his sexual preference, not according to scriptures. And he was prepared to move into their house 2 days after I came in. And for those who know me, I've spent 2 decades working with teenage boys. And so that moment, they were convinced, as I was, it was no coincidence that I was there and helped them with some counseling in that regard. And so there was a lot of those situations. So the Lord will use you wherever you are if you are open to that. But it still does not remove the fact that fear drove the decision. So I'll ask for your prayers for me and my family.
Kobe and I went this weekend and watched the movie, The Son of God, and it was awesome. I'm sure like any movie, you can open your Bible and find a ding or two you can hit them with, but the message of the truth was preached publicly. And the audience, when the movie ended, applauded in just unison. And I don't know when that's happened to you. At a movie. Hadn't happened for me a lot. I can remember one time when the Incredible Hulk threw that guy into the concrete like this, and he left him in there. The crowd did a clap momentarily, but it was kind of, that was the end of it. But it was really exciting, as from a Christian perspective, to see that when they see the message of Christ, it does something to their heart. And I was wondering, of course, what my son was thinking about what he had seen, and some of it's a little rough, of course. It's not like the crucifixion, but, I mean, it does show that piece of Christ's life. So we got in our car, and I want Kobe to see if he can remember what the first thing he said to me when we got to our car regarding this movie. Can you tell him what you said?
That movie is going to be Oscar nominated.
Maybe right there.
That movie should be Oscar nominated.
Yeah, and so it was really cool to me. I mean, I've taken him just 2 weeks before to watch the Lego movie, you know, where everything is awesome, you know, and everything is cool. And we liked that movie, but he didn't say anything like that. You know, we got in the car, and it was just like, wow, you know, this 9-year-old says that's Oscar nomination material. I said, son, I hate to tell you this, but Hollywood doesn't think like you do. I said, that's probably not going to happen. I said, but the fact that you think that that is what it should be, that's really cool. And then he made some other statements, and I'm going to ask Kobe, and I'll try to tell you what he saw. Every time someone saw Jesus in the movie, face to face, be it the woman caught in adultery, be it Matthew, the cheating tax collector, even the religious leaders, Kobe noticed something about them when they saw Christ, and I'm going to see if he can tell you what it is.
They just left speechless.
Yeah, it was interesting to me. He observed their body language. When they saw Christ, he said you could tell they had sin in their life. He said it bothered them. And it was just neat to me that someone who gets to see a video revealing of, I know it's a movie, but when he saw people see Jesus, he understood their body language kind of went just silent in that they didn't know what to say. When he called upon Matthew, the tax collector, in the movie, Matthew just starts shedding tears. He knows he's cheating people, and yet Jesus called him. And I know we read these things, but when you see it kind of pictured, if you will, it just brings it to life. It was interesting to me to see the people that Jesus called were some of the very people that we would call cheaters and liars or whoever. And I just encourage you, I'm not a Hollywood movie kind of person, but that is a great movie to go and see. And I was impressed with what Kobe saw when people saw Jesus. And I wonder what we're doing with our lives when we see Jesus. Are we humbly acknowledging through our body language and through our verbal actions and our lifestyle that, wow, here's the Messiah, and I've got to do something about the sinful condition of my life, whether that be not as a Christian or that be living as a Christian. When you see Jesus, I'm hoping he's doing something in your life that draws you to want to make a change. Anything else you want to say? No. Awesome. All right. I'm going to say a prayer on behalf of Anthony, if you will. Let's bow. Father in heaven, we come to you in prayer at this time, knowing that you answer prayer, and has been noted from this group. A lot of challenging things have happened when we've come to you in prayer and we haven't got what we have asked for in a physical standpoint. And I recently listened to a young lady speak regarding prayer, and she said sometimes we offer them as selfish demands instead of spiritual wants. And maybe they are physical and earthly in their demands, and sometimes they are selfish. But we know that you answer them. Whether we like the answer on this earth or not, we know that eternally they are handled in the way that they should be handled. And we come to you at this time on behalf of Anthony and his family, knowing that it is better now than it has been. And as he's mentioned, he's had great things come from the opportunities where he has been. But we know that his desire is to work in a place where he can go and come to and from his home each and every day and be with his family, support his family, financially take care of them, and physically be there with them. We know that opportunities are on the table, and we pray that of these two, either one of these two, sounds like to me would be a win for Anthony. And Lord, we just ask for you to be with him, be with those who will be making these decisions, that they look at him as he is a man of you, and that they understand what a man of Christ, a man of God, can do in the workplace, and that they will honor that with the weight that will benefit him, that he can land one of these opportunities. And we pray that you continue to be with him and with all of us as we are in our lives and our workplaces, that we're working and living and doing in such a way that when our name is called to the table, our character will be revealed and benefits will come our way. We know that all things work together for good to those that love you, and we pray that that will be the case in this specific request on Anthony and his family's behalf. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
just like to take a minute to add to that. Amelia and I went to see that movie. I told Amelia before we got there, I said, Amelia, they're probably going to take some privileges, do some things that are not quite right and all. We'll talk about them afterwards. They're really pretty accurate. And as Kobe picked up, pretty soon you find out that the main religious group of that day, which was the Pharisees, which is a division, denomination, whatever you want to call it, that is who Christ had all of his different issues with. But it really points out real quickly that they were doing what man and what they wanted, more of a money thing or whatever. But it is an awesome movie. You need to go see it.
The Lord is in his holy temple.
Is there anyone else who would like to come forward? Open mic. Okay. Now we enter into our formal worship. And this evening, let's see if I have the right deck. There we go. I wanted to read a passage of scripture before we enter into worship service. And of course, I'll go over the order of worship. Is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 8, but I'm going to just simply highlight verse 6. And it's probably a good thing that my wife's not here tonight, because she knows very well that when she sees this word contentment, for those of you who don't know, that's my wife's favorite sermon topic, right? And if ever the ladies get together for a study and say the person who was designated to lead the study kind of it falls through or they're not able to make it and my wife is present, all you got to do is turn to her and say, hey, why don't you go through the verses in the Bible on contentment, because I'm sure she can do that. I've our mates are a wonderful gift from God. And sometimes we as men, we get carried away with some of the burdens of the world. How to provide, both physically and spiritually. But as I look at this verse, one of the things I start thinking about, you know, the theme here is around sharing and giving, et cetera. I'm ashamed to say that sometimes when I've been hesitant around giving or sharing, it's probably been, this is the number one, around contentment, looking at what I have and seeing that it's convincing myself is just not enough. How can I
extend myself. And I know that to be wrong, you know, because God has blessed us, each and every one of us, abundantly. I know that I've been encouraged a time or two by brothers here to just simply stop, take a few minutes each day, and mention something in prayer or to one another that God has blessed you with. And the challenge associated with this, and I think this was, if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Margie and Ken that suggested this. And the challenge that they put to me was each day that you count or you look through those blessings, don't talk about the same blessing. It's got to be something different. And that certainly is a task and an exercise that is worthwhile. But here in this verse, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, it says, "But godliness is contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these will we be content." With these will we be content. Gotten myself. Our order of worship tonight is we'll sing a song that I've asked Brother Kevin. For those of you who know me very well, I have a habit of doing that. I blank out. That's right. We'll have a song and then opening prayer, invitation. It gets worse with age. Oh, brother, don't tell me that. And then the invitation song. The invitation will be extended, an invitation song, and then Lord's Supper will be offered for those who have not had an opportunity, and then we will conclude in prayer.
Sure, I will do the same to you at some point. Yes,
blessed are they who do His commandments. They shall bring the tree of life into the city. They shall enter. They are victors in the strife. Blessed are they who do us and us. Blessed are they. Blessed are they. Into the city. They shall enter. Blessed.
invitation song, by the way, is Do You Know My Jesus? So
let's pray. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow at this time, thanking you, dear Lord, on this first day of the week that we have this opportunity, this privilege, this blessing to assemble here to worship you. We're hopeful, dear Lord, that the things have been said tonight, the songs that we sang, the prayers have been lifted, and the invitation that's going to be given will be pleasing to your ears, and be that we are proud children of yours, that we are studying the things that you want us to do in your word only, and we are taking it beyond these four walls to spread the borders of your kingdom, to teach others, to let our light shine. We ask, dear Lord, to bless us and to give us that courage that we can go out and proclaim your word. We're so thankful, dear Lord, for the ones who have participated tonight, the very young and the mature. We're so blessed in this congregation that we have the future before us, that we can not sit back and just be lazy about it and let it happen, but we are encouraging it, those young to grow in your word and to participate in your word and to learn those things, that one day that they'll be able to serve you in public. We're so blessed here, dear Lord, that you continue to grant the wisdom to our leaders, give strength to our and service with our deacons and those who preach, Tommy and Adam. Give them knowledge of the word. And to the many, the teachers, give them knowledge of the word to teach the young and the old. And the members that are serving behind the scenes, things that we don't see, but are further spreading the word in this area. We ask, dear Lord, to be with Dwayne tonight as he opens up your word. And he offers an invitation to those who are here tonight that may be so close of naming your name and becoming a child of yours, that it happens tonight and they don't waste any more time. So we ask, dear Lord, that we are encouraged, that we are blessed with this opportunity to assemble here. But before we go, dear Lord, or before we continue on, we ask that you be with the Catchies, with Ed right now dealing with his own health issues, but with his family, specifically Bobby, with his suffering, that you grant him comfort and the family comfort as well, and your will be done. We ask you, dear Lord, as has been previously mentioned, be with the Spriggs. Santhi's about to make some decisions that impact his future with us. We pray, dear Lord, that your will be done, and that he will find a home here, a lot closer home here, and we can continue on worship together. Dear Lord, be with us. Keep our minds and our hearts focused on you tonight, again, this hour of worship, and then throughout life. And in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Good evening. It was a pretty easy job getting to follow the acts that come before me, because they've said so much. It's been such an example. It's always encouraging to come and hear. If we didn't get to come and hear anything else but the children's prayers, I think they were... They pray for the things that we take for granted with a pure heart, and that just really speaks to you. The gospel in Christianity is pretty simple, what God wants from me. We muddy it up and complicate it, but I'm thankful for Anthony. You know, I look at Anthony as a rock, for him to get up here and to say he was scared. I mean, that's awesome. You know, as I sit back and I listen to all these things that get shared and just the edification that goes on, a lot of times I think, what would we be like as a Bible book or a church, you know? And I could think, you know, the brothers in Houston are encouraged. They send word through Anthony of the good things that you're doing. You know, sometimes I take those liberties in my head. It's just awesome, you know, to think of the struggles that we go through and the things that, and the victories that we go through. You know, we talked in group meeting about, we often mention about how tough of the last 2 years or 18 months this has all been, but think of the people who have been saved and all the great things that have happened. And think of Ken and, you know, just all the people that have been touched and impacted by that. So it's an awesome thing to just sit back and look at how God works and moves in our lives. So this thought that we've had about in Ephesians 4:28, to steal no more, he who steals, steal no more, but to work. And I think of especially as men. You know, I think of my work. I enjoy my work. I'm blessed in that regard. I could stay there all the time because I love what I do. I'm fascinated by it. And that opportunity to speak not too long ago at my grandfather's funeral. And one of the things that I was able to say about him that really made me think was he worked very hard his whole life, and he taught all of us kids and grandkids how to work hard, but he never forgot why he worked. You know, he was never consumed by his work or never had an opportunity where he just didn't have time for us. And he was blessed. He worked on the farm a lot, so we spent a lot of time with him. But it's easy for men to lose sight of why we work. But I think that verse drives the point home so that we can have to share with those who are in need. So, and I'm often just amazed at the harmony in the scriptures. You know, when you come in with God's word the way that it needs to be approached, it always is in unison and harmony together. And it's just amazing, no matter where we go, what scripture, it's just amazing how it works together. So building on this lesson, I just keep thinking of things that Tommy's talked about, you know, that Ephesians 4 is building up, especially 17 through 32. In my Bible, the heading is living as children of light, that we are something different because of Christ. We are set apart. We are holy. We're made to be holy through him. And that's just over and over in my head that we have no hand, or God has no hands but our hands. And all this stuff leads up to action that we're going to take. And leading right up to that in 4:27, it says, do not give the devil a foothold. And I think that's important to think about the parable of the sower, you know, and getting choked out in the thorns and just all the different things. When I thought of stealing, I was thinking, the first thing that popped in my head, one of them was the devil. And I mean, the devil wants to steal lots of things out of your life. And his ultimate goal is to steal your soul. But he's going to steal your time. He's going to steal your heart, your attention, your focus, whatever he can do to ultimately get your soul. And for a great many of the people in this world, they're not even going to realize he's stolen anything from them because they're so consumed with this world. And I kind of think of an analogy about how you had to be very intentional to get to heaven. And I think of a ship. You imagine a ship being on the open water, and if you take no action, that ship may float from here to there. But what would be the odds of that ship? You imagine a container ship maybe floating on the ocean and trying to get to the Panama Canal and cross. What's the odds of a ship floating with no action of making it there? And I think that's kind of when the path is broad and the way is narrow, you know, the path to destruction is broad, but trying to get to heaven, that's very intentional. You have to plan. You got to take some action. But I also balance that with we're to trust in God. And a lot of these things, if you've heard me talk at all, you're going to hear the same things because I'm a pretty simple guy. If I find what I think works and makes it click for me, that's what I go with. So I won't muddy it up. But I think of, you know, what would that ship be like? Where might it end up? And you think of, if any of you guys watch any movies like, I think the Perfect Storm, you know, when they were in that movie, how ferocious that looked. Or that show, The Deadliest Catch. And also have a brother who is on a nuclear submarine. And I've been down to Kings Bay, Georgia, where they have to come in through the river, and they have to find that channel. And it's a very precise way that they have to go, and marks they have to hit, and depths. And it's all just so many ways that you can mess that up, but they're very intentional. And like we have, you know, in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of faith, they have people who came before them who made those routes, and we have people even here within these walls who came before us and have shown us how to navigate this life to get to heaven. So then you get to 4:28, and you think of putting off your old ways, putting the old man to death, and to work that you may share. And back to Tommy's point of, you know, God has no hands, but our hands are here to do those good deeds and to glorify him. And I think I've heard it said before, it always sticks in my mind about the Good Samaritan. You know, nobody would remember the Good Samaritan if he hadn't had money to accomplish his task. Nobody would remember him for his good intentions. He had done what he needed to do to have the money to take care of that situation, and he's remembered for that. But I think, again, you have to balance planning. Some people want to plan where there's no room for God left in their life. Everything's planned out. There's no need for him because they've got everything taken care of and backup plans and contingency plans. And I'm not beating on planners, they are. But, you know, you got to have. You got to have some room in there for God and His grace, you know, and His providence. And I think Anthony's a great example, you know, as he's sharing that his fear drove him to that. You know, but I think in the Bible how many flawed people were put in situations to do good, and you admit your fear, but yet you were there as a tool, as an instrument to help people. And one of the things you'll hear me talk about probably is, and this all kind of boils back down to how do you, all this is going to lead to action, you know. And I think of this book by Francis.